Hey, don't forget to check out our great sponsors at soscustomtees.com. It's the only place to get official merchandise of the Double Drop Kick Show. That's right, soscustomtees.com.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Wood.
And this is it. All right, this is the podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And today we are talking about The Last Jedi. Mark and I have not communicated at all. Mm-mm. Not one word other than to say we're going to talk about The Last Jedi, and we're only going to talk about it on this episode. Mm-hmm. So we've already given the spoiler alert. This episode is coming out in 2018. If you haven't seen it by now, you don't care about spoilers. So here we go. Mark, tell me about when you, who'd you go to the movie with? When did you see it? And what did you think?
Saturday with my nephew and my wife. We went.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
You know, there were obviously there little things. Oh, man, that's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, it's still sitting with me. So that's a sign to me that it's a good movie.
Yes.
Because I didn't just walk out of the theater and forget about it. I'm still mulling over whether I liked it or not,
mm-hmm.
which is a cool thing.
Yes.
You know, because I know the criticisms of it. But then I think about, I don't want to, you know, you don't want to jump right to everything. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to go through it from start to finish? Okay, but let me say, the story of the kid,
yeah,
that feels like there's something else out there,
yeah,
and that comes from a birthright that he doesn't understand,
yeah,
and come to find out he's the son of this evil guy, and then he turns the guy. We're talking about Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that story's been told.
Yes.
So I didn't want to see them just rehash that story.
Right. Again.
That was kind of surprising to me, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who are her parents? Well, they were nobody. They just sold you for drinking money.
Allegedly.
I'm not saying I'm not saying that there's not going to be more to the story.
Right.
You know, but what I'm saying is, for right now, that's the story.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like that made people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. She should have been
right.
Somebody else's kid. And she very well may be before this is all over with. There may be more to the story than that. I don't know.
But the answer they gave, totally unexpected.
Right. Right. Killing, once again, like twice in this series of movies.
Mm-hmm.
With the Phantom Menace and now with this one, killing somebody that, like, unexpectedly killing a pretty badass villain.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, I still look back on killing Darth Maul and think killing Darth Maul at the end of Phantom Menace was the equivalent of that build up to Sting and Hogan.
Yeah.
And then Hogan pinning Sting.
Right.
Without the fast count.
Yes.
I think that was a huge misstep. He should have at least made it into the second.
Yeah.
I mean, golly, man.
I don't think he knew. I don't think George Lucas. I don't think he had any idea Darth Maul, what he had on his hands.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's a whole nother issue.
Right.
I saw it Thursday night, opening night. I saw it with the kids and then went and saw it again with Movie Pass.
Uh-huh. Are you going again today?
I think we're going to go see a different movie today, but I will see Star Wars again. I mean, there is not a shadow of doubt in my mind, at least two more times with Movie Pass. Like, without Movie Pass, I don't know that I would spend the money, but the fact that I can go see a movie four times for $10, I'm going to take them up on that offer.
Okay, I get that.
Where do you even start when you... For me, the articles that I've read about Star Wars is like, well, that's not Star Wars. And then other articles are like, well, that's exactly why it was great. It wasn't Star Wars.
Yeah, even like the like, you don't realize it at the time. But, like, when he's – Kylo Ren is saying, man, forget about the history. Forget about all that. Like, yeah. Let's do our own thing. Let's go. Yeah. Let's burn all that to the ground. Let's start something new. And that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I had heard – I went into this spoiler-free.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you proud of it?
I am. I'm surprised.
I had read some spoilers from a year ago that said Rey was going to be a Force baby, like Anakin. Mm-hmm. That the Force, every now and then, to bring balance, does this deal. Right. And that may still be the case.
That's what I thought anyway. Like, I don't remember what happened, but there was a moment in that movie that made me think that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember thinking, she doesn't have parents.
Hmm.
So I still am not convinced that that's not.
But she remembers her parents.
Does she, though?
Yeah, because they showed a flashback with her.
Right, in the first one.
And and the person is, you know, turning her loose or whatever. Lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. What were we talking about?
Star Wars, The Last Jedi. You're so excited to talk about
it. I am. I got a few notes here. But, it wasn't. So I think if they had done that, that would have been disappointing. And then when Mark Hamill was sharing over the last year, when I first read the script, I'm like, this is terrible. This is not going to be good. And I'm thinking it's because of the Rey deal, that Rey's going to be a Force baby. And now knowing Mark Hamill's talking about tossing the lightsaber aside. Mm-hmm. And I love this movie. I loved it. It ranks high already on some of my Star Wars movies. For so many reasons, but one, it was not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I have thought about it, the way that Luke was portrayed, which, great, a logical ending place.
Mm-hmm.
It's logical that if that happens with Kylo Ren, and what we came to find out is Luke was ashamed
mm-hmm.
of what he was going to do.
Right.
It didn't have anything to do with Kylo Ren. It had to do with Luke, what had happened within his own heart.
Right, when he was about to kill his nephew.
Yeah.
In his sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not just that he exiles himself, that he removes himself from the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And has this attitude. To me, as I've thought about it, that's a logical story progression. It's logical that he's just not like, what do you think I'm gonna do, go back with a laser sword and just beat everybody, you know?
Right.
that he's just jaded by everything.
Right.
And I dug it all, man. Really liked it. So one thing that made this great for me, and I think you can say the same thing about Force Awakens, the acting in those two movies.
Oh, God, yes.
And it shows you George Lucas is a great idea guy. He is a wonderful producer.
Mm-hmm.
The guy wrote the book on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a great film director.
No.
He does not pull. Can you imagine if different people had directed the prequels?
Yeah.
What they could
have. Because those were not bad stories.
Natalie Portman is a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Christensen, I've seen him in other works. He's a good actor.
Mm.
Good. I didn't say great. Mm. He's good. He's passable.
Liam Neeson,
pretty dang good.
What's his name? Evan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
a lot of good actors. Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Hello. You ever watch any of those old Hammer horror films? Oh, they're great.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching those.
But I think, and after I saw this movie, I know why Rian Johnson he's doing another trilogy.
Yeah.
And he's got the freedom, and it's not going to be it's going to be totally separate. But the guy just got these wonderful performances out of people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought everybody hit the right notes. Daisy Ridley crying on cue multiple times. It was what?
Crying on cue. multiple times.
Yeah, and
what about the getting the milk out of the teat?
I could have done without that.
That was kind of weird.
That was
a weird thing. Like just,
and then he like swishes it in his mouth.
And he's like, and he like angrily drank it. You know what I mean? Like he wanted, but I think it even that. Like I think he was trying to offend her.
Yeah,
I think he wanted to run her off.
Right, and I think he's trying to.
That's what it was.
I think he was trying to show her, I have chosen this life, and it sucks.
Right, and this is the end result of fooling around with this, you know, hokey religion.
Right, that's right. This he's like, it's gonna leave you disappointed.
Right,
but I love the fact that Ray, she's a mark. She's a mark for finding the good in people. That she believes, she thinks, she senses something in Kylo Ren, and you come to find out, you know. What's the dude's name? Snoke.
Yeah.
I was going to call him Snake.
Was it Supreme Chancellor Snoke?
Supreme Leader Snoke.
Supreme Leader, yeah.
You know, I'd like to, one day I'd like to reach that title, Supreme Leader.
I bet you would.
Even of this podcast, I'd like to be the Supreme Leader. I'm not even General Hux on this dang podcast. So, like, the fact that she... Like, that's the optimism Luke had. Mm-hmm. If you go back and you watch the Jedi speak, Leia, there's still good in him. I sense it. I got to go confront him. That's the same thing you see in Rey right there. Mm-hmm. And
what was the deal, like, when there's the hole, I guess, that represented the dark side of the Force? And, like, she just went right to it.
Yeah.
And it was, like, scary to him. He's like, you didn't – like, most people – at least hesitate before they go to the dark side. Like, you went right to it. What's going on there? What do you think?
Because
you know, obviously, more about the... I watch Star Wars. I enjoy Star Wars. Right. But I'm not, like... I'm not going to go out and, you know, and do as much research on it as you...
Yeah, I mean, I've actually read... I mean, they had books called The Jedi Path and The Way of the Sith. And I've read both of those books. And it talks about, you know, just their training and just their... different ideology, and so I think for that, like Luke was like, wait a minute, you're supposed to like hesitate, but it's because she didn't have any fear. She had, you know, that was the thing. And if you go back to a Yoda, fear's the path that leads to the dark side. She didn't have any fear. She's like, screw you, screw the dark side, I'm going to check this out. I mean, she's so desperate to know who her parents are.
Right.
She's looking for that answer, that she'll look for it anywhere.
So, they're, like, I've heard, and I guess this is probably what she is, the gray Jedi. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't, whatever that you're, I don't think they've thought that deeply about it.
Well, I think they have. I think you're wrong because that is, like, I read an article about it. Like, it is very much in the canon of Star Wars. There have been a few, and there's not many of them, but there are several. Every generation or two, there's a Jedi who come along who have the ability to use all the powers of the dark side as well.
Oh,
but they're not seduced by them.
Okay.
Because they're not afraid of it.
Right.
And it's a rare thing, but some there's every once in a while there's a Jedi that can harness the power of both. They can walk on the dark side.
Right.
Get all the benefits of it without being seduced.
But here's the thing is,
and I think that may be what she is.
But I think she, to me, she went into that cave looking for answers. And she didn't find answers, and then brilliantly she's doing the voiceover, and you're like, who is she talking to? And then you find out she's talking to Kylo Ren. I thought their interactions were just again the acting, they pulled me in. And what is, I mean, I'll be the first to say it. Definitely two of my top five Star Wars moments ever involve Rey. I talked about Force Awakens when she summons the lightsaber and it flies past Kylo Ren and the music hits perfectly. Mark out moment.
That was good, yes.
When he lights up that lightsaber to kill Snoke.
Mm-hmm.
when he does that, and then she, and they go back to back, and just my opinion, best lightsaber battle we've seen in Star Wars.
I would not argue. I was going to say that they delayed seeing a good battle scene till the end.
Yes,
and with them versus those guards, probably hands down the best use of that I've seen. And before that, I would have probably, as weird as it is, would have thought it was Yoda from
right
Attack of the Clones. I think when he finally, like, you'd never seen Yoda,
yeah,
and then he picks his cane back up,
yeah,
and starts walking out. Like, yeah. To me, that's one of my favorite moments ever from Star Wars. As bad as those movies might have been, to me, that was an incredible thing.
Yeah.
That when he fought with the thing and then he picked his cane up and went back to limping, oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, to see Yoda in his prime was great. And then to see Yoda in this movie, love that.
That was cool, yeah. Like, my nephew, he was like, you know, every time I see movies like this with you, there's always a moment like when you sit up in your seat. And he was like, that was the moment when Yoda showed up.
Yeah, to me, the crowd reaction the second time I saw it was much better than the first time.
Mm-hmm.
To all this stuff we're talking about. The part where Kylo Ren's getting choked and she throws her lightsaber and he catches it and immediately turns it on and goes to the guy's head. That got a huge pop in the crowd.
Yeah, that was awesome, man.
When she does the deal where she's drops the lightsaber and then ducks down and gets it and cuts the guy.
Yeah.
That was
the best. I'm glad they brought the stormtrooper weapon back. That was so cool.
Oh, like the lasers,
like the whatever that thing is that the traitor guy had, like the Billy Club thing that he had. They brought those back. But I'm not a fan of the Finn character. I don't like him.
Yeah.
Can you expound? I don't know. He almost seems to me he's a coward.
Yeah.
That keeps falling bass backwards into being a hero.
Because
he's always trying to run away. Whether he's running to do something or not, he's always trying to run away from something.
Huh.
You know, he's running away from being a stormtrooper, and he runs away. He's always running away from a fight.
You know? Well, at the end, he's trying to take out the...
No, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I know he completed that arc, but he's always running.
Right.
He's always... It's just impulsive and selfish to me.
Okay. Let's move, like, impulsive and selfish. Let's talk about Poe Dameron.
Mm-hmm.
Poe Dameron, to me, the Darth Sidious of this
movie. I'm with you on that. I don't like him either.
He's the Darth Sidious of this movie. I want you to think about this. This guy, and he's supposed to be a hero, okay? Mm-hmm. Leia points out to him, demotes him. How many people died so you can kill a dreadnought, you know?
Right.
And they show you. Clearly, what they don't show you later on is he sent Finn and Rose on this foolhardy mission where they end up getting betrayed. Everybody that died on those transports, that's blood on Finn's hands. I mean, not blood on Poe's hands.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You're right.
Almost
everybody who died in that movie died as a result of his actions.
That's right.
Yeah.
They get to the end and there's like 20 of them left.
Yeah.
And the reason there's only 20 is, and then they're like, well, follow him. No.
Yeah. No, don't follow him.
No. You can't, you know. Yeah. Why isn't Rose mad at him?
Yeah.
Hey, Poe, Princess Leia told you to retreat, to fall back. You didn't. My sister died. Up yours.
Yeah.
You know?
I do know. I was going to get there. I was going to say those two characters, I don't like either one of them, man.
Yeah.
And him especially. Him, like, that was going to be that I don't like Finn, but I hate Poe.
Yeah.
Even more. He's an awful person.
Yes.
He is an awful person. He is not the Han Solo.
No.
Like, I feel like they want you to think that he is.
No.
Neither one of them are. Neither one of Han.
Because Han Solo never made a decision that cost lives.
He always, at the end, would do the right thing.
Yeah.
And those guys don't know what the right thing is.
Yes. Yes.
And then you get this one person, the Laura Dern character, who they set up to make you think she's kind of cowardly. But I never thought that. I was right. Like, she's just trying to keep people alive here.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can get, and then it was cool to see at the end to find out, like,
she had this plan.
She was the – she. That's why they chose her.
Right.
You know, because she was – you know, when she went to light speed and cut that – somebody else said, you know, if you could do that, why didn't they just do that to the Death Star?
So Star Wars now has made – this is – 6, 7, 8, 9. They've made 9 Star Wars movies. To my knowledge, Star Wars is like, it's a space opera. So there's music from start to finish. There's music constantly in the background, except for that scene.
Mm-hmm.
She hits light speed, and it is just amazing. And moment.
It was. And I sat in a theater that was jam packed, and everybody sat there quiet.
Yes,
that was cool.
Because you start to realize what she's doing about the same time the bad guys do.
Right.
And we've never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen somebody, what happens when, you know, you go back, Han Solo, why aren't we making the jump to light speed? This ain't like, you know, spraying crops, boy.
Right. You know?
And that was just awesome.
Yes, that was a very cool scene. I would agree.
I feel like we should say more than that, but no, you've summed it up. That is a very cool scene. That really
that
is.
Was, I mean, that's what you got. It's an awesome scene. Man.
The cinematography of it, the lack of it was. I mean, the fact that it was silent,
mm-hmm.
like, gave you time to be like, because sometimes Star Wars is sensory overload,
right? Sometimes Star Wars is sensory overload.
You can quote me on that. There's so many things.
Luke coming back. You know.
Okay, so the second time I watched it, I noticed they were very intentional to show you. Hey, when somebody steps on this, it's a red footprint. The first guy comes out of the thing, red footprint. Oh, that's salt. They show Kylo Ren sliding. They're showing you, hey, when somebody. And then as I was watching the fight with Kylo Ren and Luke, they're showing Kylo Ren stepping red, and that's like, oh, they're telling you he's not really there. Mm. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was awesome when he sees the two sons at the end, mm-hmm. and they're playing that music. That's the homage to like the end of,
right.
or that scene in
when he's standing there in the first one, just kind of looking at him before yeah. his adventure started, right?
Yeah,
and he was kind of like trying to figure out his place. That was awesome. That was really, really well done. My only criticism would be to know that he wasn't in real peril.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Iron Man wasn't in the suit in the third Iron Man, when you take away, well, it really didn't matter what happened to him. But I get it. He was doing what he could do.
But he was in peril. It killed him.
Well, this is true. He used the power that he had to harness.
Right.
To do
so,
that. Kill.
So to me, the fact that he died sacrificially.
Right. He redeemed himself.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's, you know, the ultimate thing.
Now Jedi. I want to go see it again. I have decided that I love this movie. Sitting here talking to you.
Yeah. I knew that I loved it. We're a packed theater, mm-hmm. maybe 10 empty seats. So Drake's sitting next to us, empty seat, and then another guy. And we had kind of talked to him, you know, before the movie. And so I'm kind of getting his reaction to the movie. But I'm just seeing Drake, and I'm just seeing his face. I'm seeing his face reflected in the light. And, dude, it was like, yeah, you know, this is what it's all about. You know, I really do have something in my contact. I'm not crying.
You look like you were about to cry.
No, it's like just as I was talking, it was like, but like I'm looking at my son, it's like, yeah, this is, you know, I told people, I texted my friends Friday morning. I said, I don't care what you think about it. If you don't like Star Wars, I don't want to hear about it. And that's the way I feel.
I like that you said you texted your friends that.
I knew you hadn't seen it yet.
I didn't get that text.
I knew you hadn't seen it yet. You said, don't send me any spoilers like you did last time or it'll be payback. That's exactly what you said. I'm trying to think what I noticed the second time. You know these things are coming, these mark-out moments, and I enjoyed it more the second time.
I did, too. I mean, like, I never didn't not like the movie.
You're right.
You know what I mean? I really enjoyed it. I mean, I walked out smiling.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And it stuck with me for a few days where I was just – like mulling over everything that happened to burn down so much tradition and make right. what I think is a good decision to tell a different story.
Right, right.
It would have been like The Force Awakens. I read an article a guy talked about, like, for The Force Awakens, there were so many callbacks to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And they kind of didn't do that.
No.
Here. And I guess that's what made some people upset.
Yeah. So
they didn't do that. But God, why not just go watch those movies?
You're right.
You know what I mean? Well, right. I don't want to watch those again with different characters playing those roles.
So we were talking about, you know, Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman. Uh-huh. He did a whole – he basically goes through the movie scene by scene. And he talks about that there's a lot of things in this movie that seem like a big FU to J.J. Abrams from Rian Johnson. Just some things that he does. Like, just for example – you know, in Force Awakens, they established this is the resistance base. And in the first 10 minutes, they blow it up. And,
right.
But, I think they did the right thing. I think there was a lot of humor in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That's one of the things that I wanted to ask, how you felt about, like, when he tossed the lightsaber and...
Even, like, the interaction between Hux and... There was a little more, not profanity, but... They use words that you very rarely hear in Star Wars in this movie. The interaction between Hux and Poe there at the beginning. I'm on hold for General Hux. That says General Hux. I thought
that was funny. Yeah, that was good.
That was hilarious. And I thought as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, this is a 2017 movie.
That was my take. Like, almost... You felt like they had to include some of that stuff, or people would say, "Why did it have to be so?
Right?
Why is it so sad?
Yeah.
Not everything needs to have humor in it.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, one thing that I thought I had missed in this movie was no one says, "I've got a bad feeling about this." And then I read in the opening scene, BB-8 says that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. When they're
going
up,
do they say that in every movie?
Yeah, you go back and watch every movie so far, except for Rogue One. Somebody says, "I've got a bad feeling about this." Every single movie.
I have never noticed that.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Never before.
That's why I always say it. I got a bad feeling about this. We need a phrase like that we sneak into every podcast. We normally do. I'm at Heath Mulligan. That's normally it.
Yeah, and hey, go to soscustomtees.com.
That's right.
A t-shirt.
That's right.
We need to start sneaking that in.
Speaking of that, soscustomtees.com is the official sponsor of the Double Dropkick Show and the only place in the world, the only place on the planet, 7 billion people, you can only get a Double Dropkick Show shirt from one site, soscustomtees.com. You got the Double Dropkick Show shirt. You got the I'm a Double Dropkick Show guy or gal shirt. You got the Life's Too Short to Watch Bad Wrestling shirt. And you got the Team Mulligan Fight Against Huntington's Disease shirt. So you go right there. Number one, when you hit the place order button, you immediately become the most stylish person in your community.
This is true.
Immediately.
It's a proven scientific fact.
Yes. We had a bar graph. For those of you listening to only the audio and not watching, I am pointing to where the bar graph was posted earlier during the annual meeting of the Double Dropkick Show shareholders, of which really only one. But anyway, we had a bar graph. And it shows.
So Mark, it showed, Mark, here's how much money I've spent. and here's how much money you've given me.
Well, and to be
here's
fair,
how much money we've made.
And to be fair, that total went up a little bit because Mark bought breakfast this morning.
That's true.
The recording.
That is true. And I like bought. I think I bought your lunch about a year ago. You know.
Listen, let's be fair. You bought me a signed Hulk Hogan bandana.
I did do that. Yeah.
You have paid me in other ways.
Yeah, I did do that. Plus, I let you hang around me.
That's right. Yeah. Normally, that's just family.
Yeah.
And like, you got your, you know, little friend Alex, he pays you $25 per session just to hang around with
Alex.
You. Yeah. Where are we going with this? SOScustomTees.com. That's where you can buy a t-shirt. So number one, you immediately become the most stylish person in your community. And number two, guys, ladies, you're going to think you're hot with this. I mean, your wife, she's going to cook you some dinner. Like, she's going to say, "Whoo, that's a man right there."
Mm-hmm.
That's a man right there. And listen, when you go out to wrestling shows, they're going to know, man, they're not just listening to any podcast. They're listening to the only podcast that talks about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and as you've learned from this episode, stuff.
Yeah.
And we talk about it in a positive way.
We try to.
Yeah. We're the most positive wrestling. I am positive. We're the most positive wrestling podcast in the world.
We may be.
That's right.
We may be.
May? Oh, it's a certainty. So anyway, you need to do all that. So now I'm even more. Is J.J. Abrams directing the next movie?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with.
I think he is.
Intricacies of who?
I think he is. And what I like about Rian Johnson, he's left it open ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like they haven't painted themselves into a corner. There's so many different things they can do, and I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be great. I think.
We'll know in 2019 how they wrap it up, I guess.
And, you know, this time next year, we're going to get the Han Solo movie. Like, we're getting a Star Wars movie every Christmas. And people want to complain about it.
I know.
You know what people are not complaining about?
What's that?
Let's go here. Disney buying Fox.
Ah, isn't that cool? Spoiler alert,
you're going to get your Fantastic Four comic books back. Because they're going to start
making.
You're
going to get your Wolverine back. You're going to get all that stuff coming back.
The entire trajectory of Marvel's comic division is going to change.
And the cinema vision, too. I mean,
yes.
You got to know. You got to think that they're going and shooting some scenes for
Infinity War
right now.
Freak yeah. Freak
they
yeah.
They got to be thinking about at least an after credit scene with a Wolverine or something. Got to be. If they do, like, why wouldn't they?
All right.
Deadpool.
You're watching Infinity War. Extra credit scene.
Yeah.
It's Hugh Jackman and Deadpool.
Oh.
That's a mark out moment right there.
I don't think they're putting Deadpool in the Avengers.
Well, you know the dude, was it Kevin Feige or however you say his name? He said, dude, we may just do a whole R-rated series of movies.
Yeah.
And just do a whole that they're in their own deal.
That's kind of what I would do, you know. But you could PG 13
for a few scenes.
For a scene or two in an Avengers flick. You could definitely put Fantastic Four in the Avengers movies. Like,
dude, what if you used Infinity War to introduce a new Fantastic Four? We've already seen the origin.
They've told the origin story in two different movies.
Yeah,
don't need it. Just they were smart enough to me in Spider-Man to do the same thing to realize we done told this origin twice.
Or what if Thanos at the end in the credit scene is Thanos like meeting with Dr. Doom?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I mean, just oh gosh. Oh gosh.
So that's going to be, you know, Disney is getting ready to do their own streaming service. And if I'm not mistaken, all the shows on Netflix are going to that, if I may be mistaken.
I don't know how that's going to work with, like, Daredevil and Punisher. And if those leave, I'll definitely be signing up for Disney service, I guess. Because Punisher was just
phenomenal. I still have not got around to watching that. I think I'm going to watch it next. I want to binge watch it.
It was awesome. I watched it in like I had a weekend off. And,
yeah.
And I watched it over like 2 days. It was just spectacular, man.
Yeah.
Spectacular. The third episode is one of the best. The last couple of minutes of the third episode, man. I sent you the link. But there's just this song. Yeah. And like it's him going nuts when he's over in Afghanistan and like running out of bullets and picking up a rock and bashing this guy's skull in. This song about this soldier singing about how he had to do this stuff that he didn't want, you know, like.
Wow.
Dude. And then, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it is, man.
Yeah, I've heard that.
When they get to the end, the last episode or two is just. When him and the big bad guy finally meet up and the way all that goes down, man.
Whew. Yeah, I would love to see some of them in the movie.
I would too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't. I could see, I would hope, like you said, that they just do an R-rated series and put Logan in with those guys and have the Punisher and Daredevil kind of hang out in the R-rated side of town, because you could have them do cameos in the other movies. But.
Let me ask you this. Hugh Jackman has said he's not going to be Wolverine anymore.
No. He said he'd come back and do Wolverine if they could ever figure out a way to work him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He did say he would do that.
Oh, well, all right. So when the time comes and they have to replace Hugh Jackman, I say, because when they first got Hugh Jackman, I'm like, wait a minute, Wolverine is short and stocky.
Right.
So I think, to me, Wolverine, I mean, you had Hugh Jackman tall, dashing, and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I say you go the opposite, and you get a 5 foot, a five foot six stocky guy. Maybe best years behind him, grizzled by the world, seen a fair bit of tragedy. Marvel at Heath Mulligan.
That's right.
And you could be Sabretooth.
Maybe, you know, or Juggernaut.
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah. So the new X-Men, I saw. They had Dark Phoenix on the cover of, like, Entertainment Weekly or something. But I haven't seen any trailers. I haven't heard a whole lot.
But I just heard they were doing the Dark Phoenix.
But I've heard it's looking good so far.
I can imagine it is. I thought the last one was not great. The last X-Men, the Apocalypse. I didn't care for it. Yeah.
They didn't get it.
No, they didn't. And then they're going to have to get rid of Jennifer Lawrence. I'm sorry.
Why? You don't think?
You can't have.
Oh, gotcha.
You can't have a Mystique being the leader of the team and it be an actress that doesn't want to put that blue makeup on.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to wear the blue makeup. So they're going to have to get somebody that'll wear the blue makeup. She can't be Jennifer Lawrence. And you don't want to hire Jennifer Lawrence to be Jennifer Lawrence and then cover her up in blue makeup.
That's right.
So
no.
Why not just hire a model?
Yeah.
That doesn't care.
Yeah.
And. Please don't. If you're going to recast Hugh Jackman, it almost has to be an unknown guy.
Yeah.
Like, is there anybody, maybe outside of Harrison Ford being Han Solo, is there anybody, or Harrison Ford being anybody there, or Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
God, is there anybody else that can play that part, man?
No, I don't.
Eventually somebody will.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't want to, but.
Speaking of Han Solo, I'm worried about that movie.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it's going to be good.
I've heard that, first of all, the guy they got to play Han Solo, bit of an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But then the guy, it'd be like.
Trying to recast Han Solo.
No, but it was
with somebody other than Harrison Ford.
But no, the guys they got to do the movie.
Yeah,
they did the Lego movie.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna be a laugh fest,
which is great if you can, like the guy who's redoing Halloween.
Yeah,
is Danny McBride, who was Kenny Powers on Eastbound and Down, and he's a comedic actor. But he understood they were not hiring him to direct. A screwball comedy,
yeah,
lowbrow humor. He got it,
yeah.
Because they asked him. That was one of the first questions that got asked.
Yeah.
He said, oh, please don't miss. Like, I'm writing this as a horror movie. I'm not writing a comedy.
Yeah.
You know? But it's almost like the guys that they hired to direct the Han Solo movie didn't get that memo.
Right.
From what you've told me.
Right. And I give Marvel and I give Disney and I give Lucasfilm credit. They know what they want. To a fault sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And like they're kind of seeing where it's going and that like who pulls the plug like that?
Yeah.
I just know it even though I like Justice League, it didn't work great for Justice League switching directors.
Yeah, it rarely does.
Tombstone, about the only one.
Yeah, but you just get this uneven
right
movie that you know. Speaking, have we talked about Justice League?
No.
What we liked about what we liked and didn't like about it?
Yeah.
What? Are you done with talking about Han Solo?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What'd you think? Your opinion on that is going to matter more than mine.
There were...
Be honest now.
I like Justice League. I liked it. All right. I haven't seen it twice.
There you go. So basically, it sounds to me like you told yourself you liked it.
No, I did. In the movie.
So you could have gone to see it as many times as you want to. The movie that brought together Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, you being a DC mark. Your whole life. You love Batman. You love all these characters. You could have gone to see this movie as many times as you wanted to. You elected to see it once.
Well, okay. I was going to go see it again,
mm-hmm.
but wasn't going to be able to go till like not after 9. Mm-hmm. And had it said, okay, this night I'm going to go see it. Because that's why I got movie pass. I'm like, man, my kids will be in bed. I can go see a movie. And something happened, like, as the day went on, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this tonight, realize what I had going on the next day.
So they just showed it that one day at 9 o'clock?
No, I mean, listen, you got me. You got me. So, yeah.
I think you're lying. I think you have convinced yourself that it was good.
Okay.
Or convinced yourself that you liked it.
I did like it. Dude, Batman.
I'm saying, I know you.
Batman was.
You just said to me,
uh-huh.
I've already seen Star Wars 3 times, and I'm going to see it 2 more at least.
I don't feel that way about Justice League.
Right.
But my feeling for Last Jedi is off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling for Justice League is on the chart.
It registers.
It's on the chart.
Okay. I just wanted to get the truth out of it. How you really felt about this thing.
It had a lot wrong with it. The CGI was not
good. It was awful.
It was bad.
It was
after it was you've seen
ridiculous.
After you've seen all the Marvel movies, it's like, what are we doing?
I mean,
here?
It was like, who did they hire?
The Parademons. That was not.
Hey, look, Steppenwolf. First of all, who is Steppenwolf?
Right.
That's all the Steppenwolf. And I read comic books, and I don't know who Steppenwolf is.
Yes, no.
Because
right.
when I first heard the trailer came out and I heard Steppenwolf, I said, I wonder why they put, like, what I mean, they must have put Born to Be Wild in the trailer to introduce somebody. That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know, and I'm not making, that's the truth. And Henry Cavill's face.
Yeah, in that opening scene, not good.
Dude, they recreated, his name just went away, the other Hammer horror.
Christopher Lee?
No, the other guy that was with, and his name just, I knew it, and it just went away.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Anyway,
Vincent Price?
No, he was not in Hammer, well, he probably did a few, but Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Peter Cushing was in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like Grandmaster Tarif or whatever his name is.
Close enough.
What's the name?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
There you go. Well, I'm not a nerd.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, I'm okay with the fact that I don't know all these.
You were close.
That
you
all these characters that were in movies for 13 seconds. And I don't know all their names. I'm cool with that.
Right.
But they recreated him.
Yeah.
And they recreated Princess Leia,
yeah,
in Rogue One,
yeah,
and she looked okay,
Yeah.
I mean, for a second.
Yeah.
You know, they completely recreated her. They couldn't cover a mustache up.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
That scene at the beginning of the cell phone footage, man. I've seen better CGI on sci-fi at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon on the sci-fi channel than was in the Justice. If DC wants to know why their movies won't take it, it's just like wrestling. If you don't take your business serious, you can't expect nobody else to take your business serious.
Totally agree. In the first opening scene, you expose the business.
Yeah.
Because in the first opening scene, you're trying to pull me in.
Yeah.
You're trying to pull me in, and that song is playing that I downloaded. Everybody Know. And it's like you're trying to pull me in with these scenes.
Did they choose the Leonard Cohen version?
It's a girl singing.
Oh, well, you should listen to the Leonard Cohen version. It's 1,000. That's a Leonard Cohen tune. It's so much better than that.
Okay. So, yeah, you got this chance to pull me in. And that I can't. All I'm thinking about is what the heck.
This is honestly what I thought. Somebody's impersonating Superman.
Oh,
that is exactly what I thought. Yeah. I bet there's going to be a guy impersonating Superman, and that's going to be part of the storyline in this thing. That is what I thought.
Yeah.
When I saw that, that's how bad it was.
Yeah.
It was bad. Steppenwolf looked crappy. Not only is he a crappy villain, he looked crappy.
Yeah. People say all the time DC has better villains than Marvel. And I agree to a certain extent. And then you're going to,
You're giving me Steppenwolf?
Yeah.
What the heck, man? I just did not understand that call.
They had the perfect opportunity. Marvel has been teasing Thanos for 10 years. You have the opportunity to go ahead and put Darkseid out there, who Thanos was based on.
Right.
You got the opportunity.
Get him out early so people think, boy, Marvel ripped DC off.
They totally blew it, man.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been simple booking. That would have made sense.
It would have hot-shotted the territory.
It would have hot-shotted the territory. That's
what you do when you're playing catch-up.
Yes.
You hot-shot.
That's great.
They should have hot-shotted it.
Yes.
And then, you know, because, man, Wonder Woman was incredible.
I love Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was a great movie. If I had a daughter, I would want her watching that once a week.
Yes.
You know? That's an incredible film, man. One of the best movies I saw all year long.
Yeah.
Not the best, but one of the best.
Yeah.
And my nephew, a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And me and my wife sat there and watched it, and we didn't care about the fact that it was a female.
Yeah, no.
Lead. Yeah. None of that mattered because it was a good film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had so much goodwill going into this Justice League movie. Like, people were expecting that. And then you didn't give it to them.
Right.
They blew it, man.
Yeah, I still like Ben Affleck as Batman. But, yeah,
I'm indifferent
to
Affleck as Batman. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
He's a great Bruce Wayne.
I love that they finally are using that gray suit.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite Batman suit.
Oh, yeah.
So, to finally see that is cool. It doesn't matter to me who's in the suit.
Right.
To me, that's not that important.
There was a lot of the story that I liked. That Batman was so desperate that once he figures out a way to bring Superman back, he's desperate that they show Batman's humanity. They're showing, man, he's not going to be able to do this forever. And he's trying to make the interactions between him and Wonder Woman were great. I thought Aquaman was, I mean, they made Aquaman pretty cool. Cyborg, you know.
I thought that sucked.
Yeah, again, the CGI.
That's what I mean, the CGI.
You got a character that's going to be completely CGI, and this is what you get. And
I didn't like The Flash either.
You didn't?
Didn't like The Flash.
Didn't like The Flash.
Why not just let the kid from the show play The Flash? He does such a good job.
Right.
I understand you want to keep him separate. But you already got a Flash universe that exists.
And okay, so here's one I will take this issue with the movie is the origin of Flash is he is a police forensics detective. Lightning strikes the lab, the chemicals, boom. He's the Flash. Now you got the kid. He ain't even a cop yet. He's just kind of a vagabond.
Right.
And he's and a vagabond that doesn't even have a job. How did he afford this suit and this setup he's got?
I know.
Batman, I know where his money comes from and all that.
That was a good line, by the way. What's your power? I'm rich.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
My thing is just I didn't have a problem with the character. He was like, I'm new at this. All I've done is run fast and push people.
Right.
So I like that. It gave that different, it gave a different take on things. But yeah,
I thought he sucked. I thought Cyborg sucked. I thought Flash sucked. Wanted to see Green Lantern.
Yeah. I thought the opening scene where they're showing the battles in it, was bad CGI.
It was not good. It was not good. I liked Aquaman.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job with him almost being a dude bro.
Yeah.
A dude bro man. He was kind of douchey.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was an interesting take on it. I liked when he was sitting on the lasso. I thought that was actually funny. You know, when he started revealing his insecurities. And I think that's the scene that made me like him.
Yeah.
I think had they not put that scene in it, I would not have liked him either.
Right. You realize
He's overcompensating.
Yeah.
You know, with his attitude because he's got these insecurities about himself.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I think they humanitized him, and I liked him. Flash seemed way out of his element, and Cyborg just seemed like
To me, Cyborg's only been in the Justice League like 10 years.
Right.
You got Martian Manhunter. You got Green Lantern. You got
Green Arrow.
You got a bunch of people you could have pulled from.
Right.
I don't know. Now they have Cyborg was part of the Teen Titans and they're getting ready to do a live Titans show on the DC streaming network.
Right.
And they released the picture. It's Robin. It's Dick Grayson dressed up like Tim Drake.
Huh.
With the staff.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson never used the staff. That's all Tim Drake. But they got like Hawk and Dove and I saw a picture of them and I'm like, that's pretty cool. And Hawk and Dove are like secondary characters, but that's why you have the TV shows.
They're hanging out somewhere with Steppenwolf because I never heard of them either.
Right, right. Justice League my first understatement of 2018, Justice League, not as good as it could have been.
Bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. But again, you're telling me in my lifetime I can have a movie with Batman's with the Justice League?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take a bad Justice League movie over no Justice League at all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I liked it. It's a Justice League movie.
There were things I liked about it, but I don't see me going back and watching it again.
Right.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll give it another go-round on DVD, but I was disappointed. I didn't like... And you may disagree with this. I didn't like when Superman finally showed back up and Batman cheered like a 15-year-old fanboy of Superman's. I didn't like that.
He broke kayfabe.
See, for him to, if he had acknowledged, if he'd have given him a head nod, I'm glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
We need you. Great. I get that. But for him to do what he did.
Okay.
Was that not out of character for Batman to act like that?
Not in the way of the movie arc. Because this whole movie was about showing you how human he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that that wasn't a Batman reaction. That was a Bruce Wayne reaction. And that's why I did like it. That's the reaction they've been leading up to me. Is this whole movie's been about a Batman deconstructing himself. Like, admitting. Like, nothing's more un-Batman than admitting you're wrong. True. And this whole movie was about, man, I was so wrong about him. He's more human than I am. So to get that, that was the exclamation point of, hey, I've righted my wrong. So for me, Batman wasn't marking out for Superman. He was marking out for himself. Yeah, I can go back to doing what I do.
Even when I was wrong, I was right. He showed me that's right. Him saying I was right.
Right. Listen, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Batman.
Oh, even when it needs to be said, you're not going to say it.
Right, and you saw how I kind of, on the fly, immediately had a rebuttal.
You know that you're wrong. You know that him acting like a 15-year-old kid excited to see Superman is not something that's going to happen.
But, okay, that's the difference between Batman and Superman.
Heath, you're not going to convince me.
Nobody's...
Any universe, anywhere.
They're showing the greatness of Superman is like everybody's excited to see Superman. Superman has come
but
to save
not him. Batman.
I'm just saying everybody. They're just Batman had just been saying he's more human than I am. And in this moment, they show you this human side.
You are so full of crap. You know that I'm right about this.
You can continue to think that. Are you going to get the... So, if you have to choose between a Disney streaming service and a DC WB streaming service, where are you going?
Oh, Disney.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
I mean, because I've seen what DC puts out.
Well, their TV shows are not bad.
Hey, I watch Arrow. I'm not caught up on Arrow or Flash.
I need to go back and watch that crossover because I don't watch Supergirl.
I don't watch Supergirl. I don't watch that Legends of Tomorrow or whatever. I don't watch that fluff.
Right.
But at least so far, the movies they've put out haven't really impressed me.
Right.
Outside of the three Nolan Batman films.
I think what they're doing now is they're saying, we're going to make a great Aquaman movie. We're going to make a great Wonder Woman movie. We're going to make a great Batman movie. And maybe they'll have homages to the other ones, and maybe they won't.
It seems like what they need, and I'm sure they think that they have one, but he probably doesn't exert his authority. Like, Avi Lerner.
I don't know him.
He, if I'm not mistaken, if you look at all the Marvel films,
they'll
say executive produced.
Yeah.
By Avi Lerner.
Yeah.
And I think he's the guy. Yeah. He's the quality control guy at Marvel.
You don't think that's the Kevin dude? Kevin Feige?
He may have taken it over. I don't know. I don't follow it that close, but he was the one who did it for a while.
Yeah, Kevin is the one that mapped everything out.
Okay, well then I was wrong. You're right.
They mapped everything out and knew where all these pieces were going to fit.
Right.
And they had phase one, and now we're coming, I don't know what phase we're in now, but phase two, phase three, and they knew how all the pieces were going to fit, and their directors knew, hey, this is all fitting together, so you got to kind of do, and that's why they started doing the extra scenes, is so you don't have to mention all these people during the movie, but in this extra credit scene, you got to tie it into everything else. And I think DC kind of fell into that. And I think DC now is like, you know what? We're just going to do our own thing.
I think they tried to be like Marvel when they should have been a completely different.
Yeah.
Should have gone in a completely different direction.
And Aquaman will be lucky to make money.
Yeah.
I'll go see it.
We probably will because my wife likes Jason Momoa.
Right.
So I'm sure I'll have to go see it.
Wonder Woman will make money. One of the biggest grossing movies of the year.
Yeah. And I'm okay with her liking Jason Momoa because I like Gal Gadot. So.
That's right.
She's nice looking.
She is. She's easy on the eyes, as they say.
And she's a very good actress.
She nailed Wonder Woman. I've gone back and I've probably watched Wonder Woman several times.
So you've watched Wonder Woman several times. You've watched.
Well, that was on DVD. That was on video.
You've watched it several times. You've watched Star Wars several times. Finally got the Justice League movie you've wanted for 42 years. You saw it once, but you're a big fan of it. I understand.
I just said I liked it. Uh-huh. I didn't say I was a big fan of it. I didn't say it was good. I said I liked it.
Yeah, I'm saying I think you said that you liked it just so you don't have to say that you didn't.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not going to be painted into a corner, but
I'm not painting you into a corner. I'm saying,
listen, Last Jedi was awesome.
It was.
Last Jedi was awesome.
It was.
And I am not the Last Jedi.
This is true, but you may have eaten the last Twinkie, but you are not the last.
Not this week, I didn't.
I know. You won't go eat lunch with me?
We're going to go.
We're not going to lunch today. You told me that. You were like, I'm not going to lunch.
I said, Mark, I want to go to the pizza.
Listen to the conversation that actually happened. You were like, I'm doing this new diet.
That you told me about.
That I told you about. And then you were like, look, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to fail. So 2 weeks from now, we'll go get what you want for lunch. But just today, I don't want to go do
it. I know. I told you I would make my cheat day our days together. We'll go. And today, I'll go to the pizza buffet.
I don't actually even want the pizza buffet. I was just.
Are you hungry?
I could eat, you know. But I'm not like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not hurting or anything.
Yeah, I'm not hurting either. We've got two good episodes.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
we,
all I need. Man. We could, it gets us a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, Double Dropkick Show. Make sure you subscribe to the show because now you're not just getting the Double Dropkick Show. You're getting the South Carolina Wrestling Report every Monday.
Oh, Lord.
And, man, we're trying to be positive.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm positive about something, Mark.
So we're revamping our Patreon stuff. So if you go to patreon.com/doubledropkick, there's links in the show notes. You can find out how you can support the show for as low as $1 a month. Listen, you can't even. Nothing else in this world will change your life for $1 a month like the Double Dropkick Show. Like you get into. I'm talking about for $1 a month. There are other things that will change your life for less or for more, but not for $1 a month. $1 a month, you get into a private patrons-only Facebook group where Mark shares some great videos. We got some ideas of some other content we're going to share on there. But, yeah, lots of rewards, whether you give $1 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, $10 or more a month. You're going to get some great rewards. You're going to become a part of the most positive fan community in the world of professional wrestling and pop culture and all sorts of stuff.
Even when Heath doesn't like something, like he didn't like Justice League, he'll lie and tell you that he does just so he can be positive.
I liked it. I liked it. And listen, over the course of this podcast, you've convinced me that Superman Returns was not a horrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great accomplishment. You've even made me consider rewatching Rocky V. Haven't done it yet, but you made me consider it.
Rocky V's good, man.
You're gonna sit here, okay? You're gonna sit here with me, and you're gonna chastise me for just saying that I like the Justice League. Not saying it was good, just saying I liked it. And you're going to sit there across from me, and you're going to say Rocky V was good. Even though it's like, they don't even talk about it in the next Rocky movie. They pretend like it didn't happen.
And?
That means it's not good.
No, it doesn't.
But it means it wasn't good.
No.
All right. Let me ask you. Did you watch it when it first came out?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference, because I didn't watch it till a few years later, I had been jaded a little bit by life. Maybe that was my problem. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong about a lot of things.
Rocky V is not great. It's not great. I never said it was great. Pretty good movie.
Pretty good. I didn't like it.
It doesn't rank, you know, above Rocky III or above Rocky IV.
It would not rank above any of the Rocky movies.
It doesn't rank above Rocky II or even Rocky I.
Or Creed.
It doesn't rank above Creed
or Rocky
Balboa. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have its own merit.
Now I know how you feel listening to somebody try to convince themselves they like something.
So, Last Jedi, where does it rank for you?
Here's the thing. This is where I'm at right now. And I've seen people do this on Facebook. Great. Everybody's wanting to rank stuff. Why we got to rank stuff?
It's an interesting point.
Why can't I just, you know? Why
can't I just say I like it?
This is just me being 100% totally honest. Maybe for the first time on this episode. The thought of me having to decide what Last Jedi is better than or worse than in the Star Wars continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to do that. I don't even have to. I want to, like, to me, when we start getting into that mindset of, all right, I got to rank this, we've immediately, you got to talk about the merit. You got to push something down or put something up. If they're all great, they're all great. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I legitimately feel like that. Somebody asked me, where would you rank it? I'm like, I thought it was great. I loved it. I love them all. I love them all. I have seen all the movies more than once in the theaters. Didn't do that in Justice League.
That's what I'm saying.
And that'll tell you where it ranks. But, yeah, so for the Star Wars movies, I legitimately liked them all. But I don't want to rank them. Is that okay? Is that okay? Can it be okay?
I didn't attack you for not wanting to
rank. Where do you rank it?
Just ask them kind of where you put it at.
You put it right behind Phantom Menace?
Oh, it's definitely above Phantom Menace.
Right.
You know, but probably, definitely I like the first two better. I like The Force Awakens better. And then probably Return of the Jedi. And then Rogue One.
I loved Rogue One. So you liked it the least of everything but the prequels.
Yes, probably. But that doesn't mean that I don't like it.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
I didn't think it was great. I thought it was a good movie.
But I have you convinced that it's great, that you're wanting to go see it again.
I do. I mean, I'm going to say, all right, it wasn't great, but it was better than good. It was a really good movie. I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the experience of watching it. I thought it was a little bit too long. I thought there might could have been. I don't know what you could have trimmed. I would have probably trimmed some of the stuff with Finn and the girl. Mm.
I thought it was awesome.
Going and looking for this code breaker was stupid. It was ridiculous, Heath. That part was not good. Right, come on. That part was not good.
But every movie has parts.
I agree. What I'm saying is, if they trimmed that out, that would have saved them half an hour's worth of storyline. It wouldn't have been a 2 hour 45 minute movie. It would have flowed a little better to me.
Listen,
but maybe they. I guess they had to do that together. To get to the point where she saved his life.
No. Let me tell you why they did that, okay? I'll tell you why. They were trying to show you just how bad of a decision maker Poe Dameron was. They're like, listen, not only is his plan bad, we're going to intentionally insert this bad part of the movie, just to make you understand how bad.
Because he almost got him executed.
He did. He did.
Yeah. He's not a good person.
Not a good person, not a good character, not a good leader.
You know what they may
be? Excellent X-Wing flyer.
Can I say this maybe about him? Uh-huh. There's been this long-standing theory that Jar Jar Binks was a plant.
Yeah, that he was the Sith Lord.
What if Poe Dameron is a plant? What if he is evil? You heard it here on the Double Dropkick Show first. This is my theory, that Poe Dameron is working for the Empire, or whatever they call it, in this new Knights of Ren.
What do they call it?
I don't know. And I feel weird talking like this. But that's what I think. And also, am I right in assuming that the guys in red, that those were those were Luke Skywalker's other students?
I don't think so.
Or maybe they were the Knights of Ren.
Somebody told me in one of the reviews, somebody tweeted out, Knights of Ren, and then I expected to see them in the movie, but I didn't.
Well, I guess that's who they were then.
No, because they would have been using lightsabers.
Would they?
Have you ever seen a Jedi use a flimsy weapon?
I've seen a guy who thinks he's a Jedi who's got a flimsy little weapon. Well, that's neither here nor there.
You will not make fun of me anymore. Oh. That's one of my favorite parts from Phantom Menace.
What's that?
Republic credits will be good. Republic credits are not good. I need the money.
Yeah. Don't work on me. Whoever that guy was.
Watto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Don't work on me.
Hey, you know what works on us? Subscribing to the show. DoubleDropKick.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all the places. Subscribe via email on the website. 2018 is going to be great. Our next episode that comes out will be back to our Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament, the second annual. You can go back. Listen, you got time now to go back and listen to those first two episodes of that and get caught up. We're cutting it down to the final 64. But right now we're going to cut out of here, maybe go get some lunch. But as always and forevermore, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.